Welcome to T-Wise 20. I think my viewers know exactly what I want to talk about right away on this week's program. Yes, we're going to have a Super Bowl preview, but I'm not even going to bother with some sort of introduction for my show. I'm just going to dive right into it. These were the words from Larry Bird at a press conference last night. Take it away, Larry.
I'm sure you heard the news that we let Jimmy go today, and we're going to replace him with Frank Vogel. And I want to thank Jimmy for his 3.5 years of service. I feel he's done a lot for us, not only coaching the team, but helped changing the culture and moving us in the right direction. So he's going to be missed, but we move on, and I think our players understand that we're trying to do all we can to get back on the right track, and hopefully we can move forward and win some ball games and get us back into playoff contention.
That is correct. Jim O'Brien has been fired. It came as a bit of surprise because we were told his job was safe for the rest of the season, but I am convinced that Larry Bird has been listening to T-Wise 20. If you haven't been listening to much of the show, I'm pretty sure I've bashed Jim O'Brien in every single podcast so far. You know, I've been watching him for the last 3.5 years. It's been pretty painful. And I'm excited for this decision. And as a message to Pacer Nation, do not be surprised if the Pacers put on a little hot streak here. And do not be surprised if they have a winning record in the second half of this season. Larry Bird stated that he feels that there are no excuses for this team to not make the playoffs this year. He did say he also wants to see more of the younger players playing in game action. But all of a sudden, I have even more interest in Pacer basketball. And I'm excited to see how they respond to the new 37-year-old interim coach. Larry Bird also stated that he wants to make a big trade by the February 24th trade deadline. So this could be a pretty exciting transition for Pacer fans. And most importantly, we can all breathe a sigh of relief and rejoice that Jim O'Brien is no longer running this team. As for the other Indiana team, the Hoosiers, what a weekend they had. Let's listen to some more sound bites. Gus Johnson, take it away.
Holmes picks it up, fade away. Oh, tip, Bridget, it goes.
Oh, yes, sir. That was the soundbite of your Indiana Hoosiers beating rival Illinois, the first ranked opponent that Tom Crean has beat. And honestly, this was one of my top 10 favorite Indiana basketball wins of all time. When you consider everything that's gone on with the rebuild, not only the rebuild, but the fact that we had 60% of our starting lineup out that we expected to have. Guy Michel, Maurice Creek, and our leading scorer, Verdell Jones. All were not playing, and IU still pulled it out. We talked a lot about Indiana basketball on last week's podcast, and Indiana fans, this is what I'm talking about. Yeah, there's going to be days like the Iowa and the Northwestern games where IU just doesn't show up, and to be honest, they don't have enough talent to handle these kind of games when they clearly don't bring their A effort. But they've been competing with some of the best teams in the country, and they don't even have half the team that they're going to have in 2 years' time, or even next year. And I've said it for over a year now. I'll say it again. You can mark it down on today's date and quote me all you want. The 2011 Hoosiers team will go to the NCAA tournament. Mark my words, ladies and gents. If you want to look at the rest of this year's schedule for Indiana, all of a sudden, IU seems like they may have a shot to get to the NIT. Heartbreaking loss last night to Michigan State in overtime, but another incredible effort. Just an amazing weekend of IU basketball, and our hopes are sky high once again for this team in the future. But here's what I think needs to happen for Indiana to make the NIT. I think they need to protect home court against Minnesota, Northwestern, and Iowa. They need to win those three games, starting with Minnesota this Wednesday. They need to win those three to have a shot, in my opinion. From there, I think they need to win one road game, which playing so well against Michigan State and Wisconsin on the road, I'm confident that they can get at least one game on the road. And I think they need possibly one more big upset, whether that be Purdue or Wisconsin at home or maybe another team. Hopefully they don't have to win any games in the Big Ten tournament to make the NIT, but they might have to. But this is not going to be easy, but it is doable. Bottom line, congrats to the Hoosiers for a huge win and a sign of things to come. All right, boys and girls, it is time to bring back our NFL expert, Andrew Wacopi. And I know, Andrew, this is probably a little bit bittersweet because we're talking about the Packers and not the Bears in the Super Bowl, but hats off to your Bears. They had a terrific season. Good to have you back on the show.
Thanks. I didn't even know the football was still on. I thought when the Bears season ended, football just stopped.
I know how you feel as a Cub fan for those couple years that they actually have made the playoffs, having that very same thought. But anyway, moving on, we told the fans a couple weeks ago that we're going to have a wonderful Super Bowl preview, and that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to open this up by playing a couple games. And in this first game, Andrew, are you ready for this? I'm going to ask you if you know or can even come close to some of these Super Bowl crazy facts of all time.
I think I probably will get 99% of them right now.
We'll see. Those of you that are listening at home, if you want to keep a tally and see how many you get right and see if you can beat our NFL expert right here on TY's 20. First question I'm going to ask is, do you have any guess at all on the most turnovers in a single Super Bowl game?
I'm going to go ahead and go with 7.
7's pretty close. The actual answer is 9. The Buffalo Bills in Super Bowl 32 had 9 turnovers. It's crazy. How many wardrobe malfunctions have there been at Super Bowl halftime shows?
One that everybody knows about, but I've seen at least 3.
Well, all I know about is 1, so we'll give you a point for that. Next question, do you know what the most viewed Super Bowl was?
Most viewed Super Bowl, maybe the Giants-Patriots a few years ago?
Actually, no, it was last year, the Colts and the Saints, and this was actually the most watched program in the history in America. 106.5 million viewers, which beat the MASH finale of 106 million viewers. So last year had a lot of viewers, hoping for more of the same this year.
I find it very hard to believe that there were that many people who wanted to watch a Colts game.
Yeah, careful now, I'll kick you off the show. All right, here's another one for you. What is the number one food for Super Bowl consumers?
Number one food for Super Bowl consumers has got to be nachos.
Nachos is incorrect. You're going to be surprised by this one. The actual answer is vegetables.
Vegetables.
Believe it or not, vegetables is the most bought item on Super Bowl Sunday. Some people think pizza's a big one. That's all the way down at number 9 on the list. Potatoes, salty snacks, and sodas also crack the top 10 on this list. But speaking of food, how many chips are consumed on Super Bowl Sunday?
3.2 billion. I think I'm pretty close on that.
I don't even know how to judge that, but the correct answer is 14,500 tons of chips consumed on Super Bowl Sunday.
Which is exactly 3.2 billion chips.
Oh, yeah. Mathematician, are you? 6%, I'm not even asking you a question on this one, I'm just telling you as a fact, 6% of working people call in sick the Monday after the Super Bowl. I don't think they're fooling anybody.
I know I've called in sick for the last 29 Super Bowls.
Here's a question. What percent of people watch the game alone?
3%.
Correct answer is 5. I was wondering by that pause there if I was upsetting you, if you're going to watch the game alone or something.
No. Sadly, I will have my amazing wife here, so I will not have to watch the game by myself. You cannot make fun of me for that.
All right. How about the average number at a Super Bowl party? Number of people.
Eight.
Close, 17.
You know, and that was the first thought with 17, and I went eight. I'm an idiot.
Your first answer is always correct. How about this? Super Bowl Sunday, is it the heaviest food consumption day of the year, or what number is it?
I would say it's number 2 behind Thanksgiving.
You are correct. So a whopping 2 points now for the NFL expert. Last year, the cheapest ticket at face value was?
Cheapest ticket at face value was $385.
Actually, it was $800. And if you bought a ticket to the very first Super Bowl, it was a whopping $6. We're going to have a lot of fun with this next one, though. Hopefully you can hear it. I've pulled up a song of one of the famous Nintendo football games of all time. I'm going to play the tune, and I want to see after 10 seconds or so if you can guess which game this was, okay? Here we go. Do you remember this game?
Not only do I remember that game, I own that game. That is Tecmo Super Bowl.
You are correct, and I didn't know you owned that game. We're going to have to play it sometime. And actually, you should be proud. I used to play with the Bears with this game, and Neil Anderson at running back was phenomenal, and
Amen.
William Perry was incredible at sacks, for sure. I got, a couple more for you. Actually, no, there's just one more. I just wanted to let everyone know this. This is pretty cool. The city of Dallas is going to have a $612 million economical impact as a result of the Super Bowl. 24,000 hotel rooms will be booked. 150,000 out-of-state visitors will be there. So that's all of my crazy and exciting Super Bowl facts. Andrew got himself about 3 points. Probably still more than you people at home. That's why he's our NFL expert.
Although I may be fired after that
performance. All right, we are going to now shift gears. And Andrew, I understand you brought in some of the Super Bowl bets and the betting odds for this year's Super Bowl. So what do you have? Let's hear it.
Well, every Super Bowl season, every Super Bowl game every year, they have the basic ones, like who's going to win the coin toss. You can bet on that. Who will score the first touchdown, first team to cross the 50-yard line. Whether or not there'll be a missed extra point. But every year you get some fun ones. So I'm just going to give you the over-under this year on a few and see how you see it happening. How many times this year will Fox show Jerry Jones in the Super Bowl taking place at Jerry's World? Would you say over or under 2.5 times?
I'm going to go with over. They usually show Jerry Jones more than that in a regular season game, and personally I get kind of sick of it. I mean, I understand why they show him, but I think they show him a little bit too much. He's just an owner. I want to see what's going on in the field. I understand it's not his team in the Super Bowl, but they're still going to show him about 7 times.
That's right. He'll probably be on the big screen at all times. They'll have a little Jerry box for him or something like that. Christina Aguilera is doing the national anthem this year. You know how she loves to drag songs out, so the over-under on how long the anthem will be is 1:53. How do you feel about that?
That's a tough one, but I think she's going to go under just a tad, and I really have no explanation at all for that.
Excellent. Now, when the winning team is rushing the field, what color of Gatorade will be dumped on the winning coach?
I'm going to go with fuchsia this year. It's a really good, it's kind of a mix of purple and red Gatorade.
That's a bold choice.
I'm trying to win the mega bucks.
That's right. This is a personal, very, very close to my heart here, is how many times will the announcers rip on Jay Cutler for not coming back in the second half against the Packers last week?
Well, let's see. Who are the announcers? It's not Joe Buck, is it?
Yep. That's Joe Buck. You know how we Chicago fans love Joe Buck.
Oh, man. I'm going to say they're gonna talk about it at least 17 times.
So you'll be taking the over on that because I had it at about 2.5.
Yeah.
All right, my last one for the Super Bowl odd props. How many NFL players will be arrested during Super Bowl week? The odds makers have only put it at 0.5, so it's either pretty much 0 or 1.
I'm going to go with over. Surely at least one is going to be arrested for something, you know.
Something somewhere.
You would think.
And that wraps up the prop bets that I have for you this week.
All right, always a good time talking about those. Well, Andrew, let's talk about the game itself, Packers and Steelers. You know, Steelers have been such an impressive franchise for so many years. They kind of, this year, flew under the radar a little bit with New England getting a lot of the spotlight. But this is definitely a champion kind of team. They've been here before. They've got a great defense. Paul Amalo's still got that great hair and that great defense. But They haven't seen an offense like the Packers so far in this postseason. You know, I've been an AFC guy all year, thinking the AFC was easily the superior conference. But I'm honestly up in the air on who to pick in this game. And I'm not just saying that just because I'm in a pick'em league and don't want to reveal who I'm picking to win the game. I honestly haven't decided, and I think it has a chance to be a great Super Bowl. And real quickly before I get your opinion, another note about the Pack. According to a statistic I read recently, the Packers have not trailed any team at any point this season by over 7 points, which is incredibly impressive. They've lost 6 games this year. 4 times they were by 3 points, and the other 2 games they lost by 4 points. To me, probably one of the best wild card teams of all time. And for anybody counting them out, I'd say not so fast. But anyway, Andrew, let's start with the quarterbacks. Who do you trust more, the red-hot Aaron Rodgers or Big Ben, who's already going for his 3rd ring?
Well, I would say as long as we're not talking about who I trust to take my daughter to the prom, I'm going to have to go ahead and say Ben Roethlisberger just because of the experience in the Super Bowl. You can't discount that. You know, this season is the first time Aaron Rodgers has even won a playoff game. He seems to be trending up. The Bears did do a pretty decent job outside of the first quarter and a half of the NFC title game of shutting him down, even picked him off for the first time in a few weeks. I think you got to give the edge to Roethlisberger with the experience he has, just the ability to be that big-time, big-game pressure player. So I'll go with Roethlisberger.
I'm actually going to disagree a bit on this one, which I don't know if you can disagree a bit. You have to disagree completely when it comes to a yes or no question. But anyway, Aaron Rodgers is the hottest quarterback, and I mean that in a totally straight way. But Big Ben did not play very well in his first Super Bowl. I know he's got 2 rings. I know he's got the experience. But you look at last year, Drew Brees didn't have the experience, and he played a much better game than Peyton, who had some experience. So you just never know. You got any response?
I understand how you have trouble because you kind of agree because you disagree with the Aaron Rodgers part, but you did agree about not sending your daughter to prom with Ben Roethlisberger.
That's true. That's true. Very good point. Well, I want to ask you this question now. What do the Packers need to win this game?
Packers need to get a lot of pressure on Roethlisberger. Clay Matthews, Charles Woodson blitzing off the edges. That's going to end up being a big part of the game. They need their special teams to play pretty well. And then they're going to have Rodgers play a pretty flawless game against a tough defense. Palomalu will be flying around the secondary, you know, keeping the ball away from him and giving the receivers a chance to run open in open fields and get away from tacklers. That's the way the Packers play, you know, a short passing game and dink and dunk and try and break 15, 20-yard gains after the catch and then occasionally pop one down the field. They'll need to do that to be successful against the Steelers.
Now let's pretend you were Joe Buck. What do the Packers need to do to win this game?
Being the Bears' rival, he probably just thinks the Packers are going to win because he hates everything about Chicago.
All right, let's switch it now to the Pittsburgh Steelers. What do the Steelers need to do in order to win this Super Bowl game?
Steelers are going to really have to buckle down and run the ball, keep the clock under control, win the time of possession. Get the big plays when you need them, you know, pick up the 3rd and longs. Their defense is going to have to really buckle down on Roethlisberger or on Rodgers, keep them in check, keep all the receivers in front of them, be able to make the tackles when they need to, get a little bit of pressure on Rodgers, although he's been spectacular as of late of escaping the pocket and just such a quick release to be able to get the ball out when he's in trouble. I think Palomalu will be the key, and if he has a big game, I see the Steelers winning that game.
All right, so you see the Steelers winning. Give us a score. What do you think the final score is going to be?
Let's see. You know, week way off, maybe they'll be a little rusty coming out. I think there's going to be a decent amount of points scored, probably something like 24-20 Steelers, maybe on a late touchdown.
Well, as a viewing fan, hopefully we see another one of those great Super Bowls, and it's going to be just a fantastic Super Bowl halftime show with Fergie and the Black Eyed Peas, huh?
Oh, I'm just so looking forward to the commercial. That's all I can say as a Bears fan.
Andrew, it's always great having you on the show. We're going to bring you back for some baseball talk later on. this year. And that's going to do it for today's episode of TY's 20. Hope everyone enjoys the Super Bowl. And as Harry Carey would always once say, only the shadow knows.